On episode number 20 of this podcast, we had documentarian and all-around metalhead Sam Dunn as guest. Sam is the co-owner of Banger Films and has produced such documentaries as Metal, A Headbanger's Journey, Iron Maiden Flight 666, the Rush Beyond the Lighted Stage doc, and the super-duper Alice Cooper bio that Cooper himself narrated. When Sam was on the podcast, we talked about the void that metal went through when bands themselves watered down their sound amidst the grunge phenomenon and the birthing of the MTV-curated Lollapalooza Alternative Nation. Both of us admitted freezing out metal in our lives during the 90s. I myself turned to other alternative routes to get my heavy fix, listening to bands like The Melvins, The Unsane, Caius, Buzz Oven, everything on Amphetamine Reptile, Boner, Trance Syndicate, etc., etc. Even knowing bands like Obituary, Deicide Carcass, and Entombed, I still didn't jump feet first. I was very trepidatious with my fandom, and I was convinced metal was on its way to becoming watered-down pap. For me, this period lasted for about 6 or 7 years, and it wasn't until The Haunted released Made Me Do It in the year 2000 that I got a swift lesson showing me I had been wrong. It kickstarted about a 3-year journey of playing catch-up to what I had been missing all this time. When our band started to tour Europe, I felt like I was 16 again, finding out that heavy metal hadn't died, but had rather moved to Europe. Bands that I had thought long gone had revitalized careers in Europe. I'll never forget our first Euro tour, and it must have been the second week somewhere in Germany, and I was dumbstruck by a wall of show posters advertising an upcoming Manowar gig. Manowar. I mean, they were laughable back home, but here they were gods. Another thing that led me back to the fold like a prodigal son was the flagrant connection that metalheads in Europe had for rock and roll music, something I thought I was alone in feeling, and here was an entire continent agreeing with me. Back home, things are very compartmentalized. If you belong to one subgroup, it's almost understood that you can't be even seen with another. This kind of thinking was laughed at in Europe, especially when we'd play festivals and be booked alongside, you know, like Mary J. Blige and Hatebreed, or Atari Teenage Riot, Erykah Badu, and Slayer. The band that really led the charge for me was Stockholm, Sweden's Entombed. Entombed started to incorporate more of a groove and were very proud of their rock and roll influences, to the point where their sound was described as death and roll, when death metal meets rock and roll. Drummer Nicky Anderson eventually ended up leaving the band to front the equally legendary Helicopters, a band that can be cited as kickstarting the Scandinavian rock scene and garage rock revival in the 1990s. Hugely influential with their Super Shitty to the Max and Paying the Dues albums. I'll never forget being on tour with the Backyard Babies when guitarist Dragan, who also co-founded the Helicopters, was blasting Entombed's album To Ride, Shoot Straight, and Speak the Truth in the dressing room, singing the lyrics to Like This with the Devil. It was infectious, and it was right there that I realized Entombed might very well be one of the greatest metal bands that ever lived. And these days, I put them alongside Iron Maiden, Metallica, Slayer, Judas Priest. High praise indeed. Over the years, due to lineup shuffling, lack of touring, and lack of output, and interband issues, let's just say that, Entombed have lost ground with metalheads, especially the new generation. But all that is slowly starting to change. Singer LG Petrov, undaunted and determined, has picked up the slack and charged forth with a reconfigured lineup, and due to certain issues that I won't get into here, a new band, now known as Entombed AD. He has stormed out of the gate, first with 2014's Back to the Front, and now again with this year's Dead Dawn. It seems nothing can stop Entombed AD. Watching LG Petrov is like watching no other frontman in metal, no other frontman in music. He performs in such a charming, almost laid-back approach to the aggression, and it's this juxtaposition which makes it almost impossible for one to take their eyes off him. It's a style that can only come with hard-earned experience and supreme confidence. I caught up with LG and the rest of the band on their tour bus when they made a stop in Toronto opening for Amon Amarth. LG, drummer Ole Dahlsted, guitarist Nico Elgstrand, and bassist Victor Brandt were in good spirits that day, and I gotta say, it's a good time to sit with one of my favorite bands and talk shop. I want to thank Blue Mic Microphones and Skull Candy Headphones for supporting the podcast. I want to thank Chino Loco's Restaurants for making fish burritos stuffed with chow mein noodles. And thank you for listening to this podcast, however way you came to find it. You can listen for free, download for free, subscribe for free on iTunes and SoundCloud. Leave a rating if you can as well. It helps the podcast's profile. Okay, here we go. Entombed AD. All of them are on the podcast. I don't know if I've ever had an entire band all at once on the podcast. So this might very well be a first. I believe it is. And it starts now. The Tango Jones podcast is the best around. They play the Guinness Tango School of Tello for free. I'm so glad I like to sometimes. Tell me it from fucked up. Stop playing. Hang down. Down.
You don't want to listen to the Dango Jones podcast? Well, fuck you, my man. You want me to take my fist and shove it up your ass? Because I will. Don't you dare say that shit about Dango Jones. Man, his podcast is the best in the whole world. Did you hear me? The best podcast in the whole fucking world.
Listen to the Dango Jones podcast. Listen to the Dango Jones podcast. If you have nothing, now you have something, something to do. Listen to the Dango Jones podcast. Listen to the Dango Jones podcast.
What do Mastodon, Anthrax, Guns N' Roses, Fucked Up, Opeth, Sloan, The Kids in the Hall, Fozzy, Gallows, and Broken Social Scene all have in common? They've all had at least one member guest on the official Dango Jones podcast. Check it out on iTunes and SoundCloud today.
Gentlemen, boys and girls, get ready because the Dango Jones podcast starts. No!
Oh, I'm here in Entombed AD's a bus.
Yeah.
Podcast has started. I finally caught you guys in Toronto. When do you ever come to Toronto? When do you ever come here?
No.
Just now.
Just now. We're here in Neverland. We've been here once.
Yeah,
2010.
Like 10 years ago, right?
Something no,
like
6 that. Years ago.
6 years ago.
At the Metro with the obituary.
Oh, you know, we're always on tour, so, you know, but I haven't seen your name in any of the listings when we've been around for years. I mean, you guys, only now with the AD, with Entombed AD, are you guys making your way over to North America more and more, right?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's like if you're going to do it, might as well do it properly. And we're thinking, like, it's been way too long we've been away from here. I mean, America and Canada, so...
Yeah, I mean, I always noticed that. Like there was even one time when I was in town, this is going back like 10, 12 years ago, and the tour was canceled.
Yeah.
Right?
What was that, though? I can't remember.
There's been many cancellations. I can't remember. But, I mean, stuff happens, but now we're here, and we're getting seen.
Well, that's why I had to, at all costs, on a Saturday on the Danforth, which is, I'm finding out, hellish to fucking park and drive. Because it's Saturday and it's one of the first days of the year that it's actually nice weather. Despite all that, I had to come down and talk to you guys. So I'm very happy to be here. And the last time I saw you guys was the last time we talked was in Germany, a day after the Paris attacks at the Metal Hammer Paradise Festival. Yeah, and I caught the whole set and it was awesome. It was amazing.
Thank that you. Was good to see you there. I mean, you didn't play that day.
No, you did.
Yeah. But,
you didn't see us. That now I know you didn't catch our
no,
set.
I catched you. It was in the big tent. Yeah. No, it was really good. It was. I think everybody, line up. The whole field was like, okay. You know, nothing really makes sense on the bill, but at the same time it does. So it was really cool to. You know, for me, like to what you see on the bill and then what you actually get, it's like it's usually you think you want it, but what you want is something different. So I found the range is really cool that you could actually go watch music.
Yeah, well, I thought it was interesting because seeing you guys on the bill, I thought, oh, okay, so back to the front is kind of winding down. This is the end of the cycle, right. And then a few months after the show. I hear that the new album's coming out. So it's been a quicker, for me and Entombed Records, it's been a quick turnaround, I mean, relatively speaking.
Yeah, man.
Right?
For us too, actually.
Yeah. I mean, we thought we might as well go in and do it and make it happen again, if you see what I mean. Not rest and see what happens, just go for it.
Yeah. I think the whole idea is just like we have to friggin' stay busy. I think every musician or whatever art form you do, you have to realize at some point that you have no boss. You're your own boss. Great. Woohoo. But that takes, you know, you have to be basically at work constantly and discipline yourself as much as possible. And then maybe you get two solid days out of a week, you know, and that's like because if you don't stay busy, it's like. I find it every time you do an album or you something creatively, there's like a hangover that comes with it that kind of makes you like, I don't want to deal with music, you know, stop. I just want to go fishing or something. If you hop on that horse, you may end up on it for a long time not doing shit because it's like, it's, you know, it's not just, yeah, it takes a lot off of you. So I think best, it's like, you know, working out really or anything. It's like you just got to keep having at it because once you stop, it's going to be harder to come back on the horse. So
it's like digging coal. For every 30 tons of coal, you get a gram of gold.
Yeah.
So you just have to come up with the coal and just hope for the best.
Well, getting on this tour, the Amon Amarth tour, is a really prestigious tour to be on for any band. And obviously, they're, you know, I could just even see trying to just walking past the lineup. It's a younger crowd, like a younger metal crowd. Are you finding that you're playing in front of you're having to convert a crowd, or are you playing in front of a crowd that is very well versed in what you guys are doing?
I would say we have to convert some people. Not everybody knows about us, and but we've been well received at almost every venue. It's been fantastic.
No, I would say that the average Amon Amarth fan is a huge metalhead. So. Yeah. For us, it's been, or I think anyone, as you say, it's a very nice spot because they're whatever you bring to the table as a band, like us and Ex Mortis, there's quite the difference. You know, they're all high tech, doing it really well, but they're also so they're really well received. So I think you have the general compared, like to say, a really snotty black metal audience that is only there for the headline and will not applaud. This is quite the opposite.
Right.
You bring on the you know the chug and they will cheer you for it. Right. So it's superb.
That's
love
great.
It. Yeah, it's great. Really great.
I think this is the kind of tours you need to get on to convert like a new generation
for
of
sure.
people.
Yeah.
To it's kind of like starting over, which is frustrating, but better late than never. And it's not as if the two albums you put out.
They're not gonna actively search for your music if they haven't heard it. You know, so you have to just do it. As best as you can.
I'm sure with like the advent of like Blabbermouth, they see that they know the name recognition,
exactly.
But that's it.
As long as it gets in the head, you know, and then it's, oh, I've heard that name before, but let's check it out or something. So it's cool.
So I always likened Entombed. I always likened our band to like the opposite of Entombed, with the cold death and roll. And what we do is mainly rock and roll, but I do apply more of a metallic mindset to the rock and roll. So I've always seen our band as a not a complete mirror of Entombed, but I find it a kinship with the Entombed sound, and I feel the last two records have been more of a death metal feel. But I think there's a couple of tracks on the new album that sound, dare I say, if not rock and roll, but like old school when heavy metal didn't know the difference between whether it was metal or rock and roll.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you know what I mean, there's a couple of, I'm thinking more of like, I'm real bad. I don't even know our own song. The Mars Rides on the Moon.
Is that
the song?
No, Down to Mars to Ride.
What is it?
Down to Mars to Ride.
Down to Mars. Sorry, man.
That's right.
I'm not trying to shit on you.
No, that's right.
What did I say? Mars to...
It was nice. That's right.
Shooting to the moon.
Shooting to the moon.
Through Mars.
Yeah.
And then there's another one that's like lower into the album. Like I'd say like past the halfway point, where there's another kind of like... It's still metal, but knowing you guys and where you're coming from is, even though it sounds metal, I know that it's steeped in a lot of heavy rock and roll.
Oh yeah, yeah. Shit. I mean, that's what we've come from, and whether we like it or not. And I think the more you do something, the more whatever hit you in your teens is gonna show through, you know what I mean? But perhaps you change your instrument to violin, or you get all serious about it and try, but I think the essence of what we do has been steeped, and that was round about, you know, 85, and that's what we're, no matter what we're going for in our minds, I think subconsciously we will always try to go for that kind of pressure, but just more. So make it like them old dudes, but just more pressure and worse and faster and louder. And, you know, so that's like still the only, which would be your excellent teen ambition. It's like louder, faster, better. You know, it's like, I think this is cool when you don't try to rewrite or fucking come up with some new weird scale or whatever. It's just go for that old, which would be, I guess, rock and roll, you know. And it's been said so many times. And when you say it, it's like, well, it ain't no Chuck Berry thing, but yeah, it is. It's like that same, when he did that, when he was playing the friggin' piano, he was, you know, he was going for it, and I think that is...
Did he play the piano? Did he play the piano?
Sure did, with his feet, man. Okay. Great balls of fire.
Jerry Lee.
Oh, what did I say?
Lewis. Chuck Billy.
Oh, shit, sorry. Oh, shit.
Chuck Billy.
Yeah, let's go for Chuck Billy. No, sorry, my bad. Jerry Lee Lewis, sorry. That's huge.
But they're both crazy performers.
I think that crazy part is like, you know, that it doesn't have to be 550 chords, but it has to have that.
Well, that's also what I found almost mesmerizing when I saw you guys at the Paradise Festival, was watching you, LG, conduct the audience. And you did it in a way that I think when most metal singers walk on stage, even rock, I mean, even myself, the intent is an immediate announcement that you're on stage and that the stage is yours. That's my intention is. But you saunter in. Like, you're just like Hugh Hefner, you know, wearing pajamas at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. No, like, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it's a very laid back, almost very confident in you just can hold a crowd by being very laid back in a style of music that is very forceful and aggressive, which I found a nice juxtaposition. I probably read into it more than you even have even thought about it, but that's the perception that I got, or I get whenever I see you sing in Entombed. It's very, you're very relaxed with such an aggressive voice.
There's not a single show that goes by. It's death metal and stuff, but there's no single show where we just laugh our asses off on stage. You know, it's just it's a happy show.
Yeah, I think it's knowing, like, if I get all caught up in this shit and try to put on whatever, it's gonna be not as good, because what we do is based on really loose but playing together wise. So it's like, if I have a good day, it doesn't matter. It's like we're a tank, and if you see it, that it's you know that slow and steady wins the race, you know. So everybody just hold on to the position, wait for it, and don't get excited, because you will have the time to fight. You don't want,
the turtle will win.
The turtle will
over
win.
Over the rabbit.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I guess we're turtling it.
Absolutely.
Turtlenecking.
Yes. But I like that idea, especially, you know, when you're opening up for Amon Amarth, who are like all, you know, all guns and swords blazing and stuff. But right before they do that thing, you just kind of saunter in it very aggressively, very in a very laid back approach. Yeah. I find that refreshing in the genre of metal.
Yeah.
I find, and I hope it goes over to this audience.
Right.
I mean, I get my defenses up even when I walked by here looking for you, or just like 15 minutes ago. I walk by all these guys and I go,
it's funny,
these motherfuckers. don't stare at me.
It's funny thing you say that, because the best shows we have is the ones when we don't care so much, you know. For some reason, it's like, okay, let's just do it, and then it turns up great, you know.
Yeah.
And then when you're like working it and it's like all tense, it's not gonna happen.
Chuck Billy's in the crowd tonight, man.
Exactly.
Oh, fuck that.
Yeah, Chuck Berry.
And he has his piano with him.
Exactly.
No, that's.
You also find that there's lots of people who are showing up who are like, I've been waiting for fucking 10 years, and you finally came over.
Well, that's uplifting. That kind of like doesn't make you cramp up. It makes you like just breathe more focused, because you realize that okay, it's on, and even if this is like the 30th gig for me, and I'm like, you know, yeah, I know these songs by now. That kind of input makes you go like, okay, you know, it drives you. It's really, really cool. To anyone saying he's been listening more than, you know, waiting for more than 3 weeks, we're like, yeah, all right. But usually when it's like 20 years, it's like, okay, right. Exactly. No, you know what I mean. But it's anyone saying that you've been waiting, they showing you that, you know, they've been anticipating this for a long time. It's a really good drive before the gig. That's
I can just imagine, like, sometimes, like, on this tour with you guys, just you motherfuckers. I feel it for you guys. I felt like I going, you motherfuckers, doing an untuned are over right there, you motherfuckers.
But we realize this all the time. It's like, okay, we, even though Entombed is a well-known name, it's like, okay, it's, people don't know about it. We need to be here to play, to show ourselves.
You're the voice of reason. But I don't need to hear your voice when I'm walking. I just want to tell them to fuck off. Can I just
Oh, this is true. I hear you.
Yeah, me too, actually.
It is the voice of reason. I know I'm supposed to think that way. But I have to say, like, we've been I told you before, we've been in town for a few months, we're writing a new record. And there's, you know, there's certain points when you're like trying to figure out vocals and stuff, and there's a few singers that I channel when I'm trying to get to a note, and LG, you are one of them. I have to say it to you, when I try to get like really down and dirty and make it sound a little more growlier than my usual baby. Yeah, when I want to move away from that, the usual baby.
Gotcha.
That I'm known for, you know, the baby.
Yeah, I know.
Baby. Trademark, baby, right here. is that growl that you have that is so signature that when I do a growl similar, it's not mine, but it's me trying to do you. And that's the one thing that I've noticed with, I mean, the last two records. I mean, you know, with Entombed AD and A New Chapter and everything, the riffs are maintained, but also with every band, what all is so signature is the voice, and just listening to your vocals is, it's like, you know, nothing has, there's been no ground lost.
Right.
You know, there's no catching up to do despite, like, the years in between. And I find that, you know, it's the binding, the adhesive, the binding, you know, that is your voice, which is fantastic. It's cool. It's one of the most signature and great vocals in metal.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I say this with an underlying anger. I feel like just getting every single one who, you know, who I think is supposed to be over there, I feel like bringing them in here and go, LG, sing for this motherfucker.
Why isn't that the drive, though, to, like, always...
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah,
jealous, pissed off, like, why can I play a fucking E like that, you know?
Yeah. The voice of reason will kill you. There's only room for madness in this fucking...
Yeah. No, but I think that, you know, I remember whenever you get completely crushed, it's like, so you'd be like, oh, there's absolutely no point in going on, you know, because they just killed me here. I'm dead. Goodbye. That is very, very inspiring. If you just wait a day or two and then you realize you're going to have at it even harder because, fuck, I'm going to get him, you know?
Well, as long as your soul isn't crushed and you can live to fight another day.
Little bump. I'm not that whole... Yeah, well, we all have had that too, I think, when you're like, you don't touch no musical instrument for 5 months and because there's no point. You just heard...
Well, that's too much info.
Chuck Bailey.
Chuck Bailey.
With his piano, man.
He's like, nah, there's no point. Bailey.
He's going to be getting questions in about 3 months going, so... You're playing piano now. I hear you're playing piano with your feet and singing at the same time.
How do you do that?
That's great. Oh, that's great. Well, so you guys came from Montreal last night. You're on your way back to the States or what?
Yeah.
How long has this been and how long's left?
It's a little less than half to go. Okay. I think we passed the half yesterday or something.
We need to celebrate.
Yes.
Or maybe
it's Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday.
No, this is the first day of the second half. No way. So, yeah, it's we've been doing 20 something gigs, and there's another 20 to go.
But it's a good tour, man.
Yeah, it's excellent. Yeah. It's
all Swedes.
Gravy all the way. Yeah.
Basically, yeah.
There isn't any kind of learning curve.
None.
No.
Hello.
No.
I am something. Yeah.
Where yes. The other bands are from.
And Ex-Mortis guys are super cool too. Yeah. I mean, we're sharing the bus with them, and then
So
it's everything is.
And
it's
they behave like
smooth.
They've been on tour for 20 years. They know exactly.
No, they're
what
fucking
it's all about.
I mean, they're young, but they know how the drill. So that's really, really nice.
Yeah, going out with young bands is.
It could be tedious.
It's just like, dude, just fucking chill.
Yeah,
just relax.
Yeah, relax a little.
No, but these guys have been around. You can see it on them.
Quite,
yeah, they sound great, and they carry all our stuff, and they, you know, they, yeah. Well, they're young.
What a great band! Yeah. They're a great band.
Voice of Reason.
Oh, that's great.
That's cool. And Ammon have been nothing but. Great, yeah.
No, there are.
All, I mean, we know each other. It's like it's really cool how you. I think also with the Swedish, how should we put it, our somewhat quieter ways. It works really well backstage. So there's no culture from sharks when people are like wanting to hang out and people want to be alone. We're pretty much behaving our muttery own selves. Everybody, so it's.
Yeah. You can see it, a person, if he wants to be alone, you can see that straight away.
Yeah.
Or if he wants to party, then...
Well, we can, at least, amongst ourselves.
Yeah,
we want the sweets,
yeah.
But it's very different from... maybe not Canada, but America, like, over down south, completely. I mean, like, constantly talking.
You're like,
that is hard for an old Swedes.
Yeah.
It's like, shut up already, just give me them five.
we spent enough time our band in Sweden to understand Swedes. I'm around enough Swedes.
Right.
I've been around, and funnily enough, I'm not really well versed with the language, which is almost embarrassing. But it's really hard to like an Anglo ear. Like it's really hard.
It is. That's I would say that's the biggest difference is the sounds. It's like if you read it, you would probably get it somehow, but the melody is so far away from English.
I don't know what I'm saying, but I know the umlauts. I know how the umlauts, like what they sound, like the sounds they make.
Right.
I can read it. I don't know heads or tails of what I'm saying.
Exactly.
So I could be saying the most fucking crass.
Moment of silence.
Well, I don't like to. I just like to have loose conversations.
Yeah, yeah.
Like not really so much so like how's the new album and.
Right.
Although you know the last, I will say this: the last two albums have been great. And Back to the Front was on my top 10.
Right on.
And I do write for Close Up, so you must have seen it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
If you do see Close Up.
Yeah,
if you do read it. It's a great magazine.
It is.
It's a good magazine.
If I do say so.
We just did a gig, didn't we, the Close Up Boat?
Yeah, oh, you did the Close Up Boat.
Yeah.
You guys have been busy. I've seen your name everywhere. This isn't the first North American tour, right?
No. We did a try and then it got cancelled like mid tour. So we were up with the East Side for how long was that? Like 12
shows or something.
Oh really?
And then it just disintegrated for some reason.
Yeah,
the booker, the tour.
Shady with the whole thing. Yeah. So it turned out that stuff wasn't being taken care of, so the whole thing just fell apart.
But the thing, then we just went home and did the album, and here we are again. So
yeah,
that was cool.
So it bought you more time, in essence, or?
In essence, you could say that, yeah. Because as always, when you finish an album, it's like you just finished it the day before you have to deliver. So I would say that we wouldn't have been able to make it on that
if we did the whole tour.
So that's the good with the bad and all that.
So you guys are like busy enough where this is all you guys are doing full time.
Yeah.
In Tomb
AD.
Yeah.
Which is both good and bad.
is it true? Like when I first started spending a lot of time in Stockholm, I started to hear rumors that LG, you drove a cab.
A cow.
A cab.
A cab. Yes, 19 years ago.
Oh.
I had the car.
Oh, so that rumor that I heard was true, but,
but no,
old
it was,
even
it was
back
not
then.
A cab, it was my own car.
So, oh, really?
Yeah. So I just drove around and.
Hey man, he picked me up. I was walking home, drunk off my tits, like 1:30 in the morning, and then you hear like car screeching. It's like, what the hell? Hey man, you want to ride? Of course.
Okay.
No, so it's one of those. I mean, if you want, it's not like you work for a cab company, but you just drive around.
It's like one of those other kind of. Yeah, you're outside of the cab
company
world. You do your. You're independent.
Yeah.
Like you're the first Uber driver. You're the first Uber driver.
Because friend was like, oh, you are driving? Yes. Where are you going? How much? Okay.
That's cool, man.
And
that's,
then,
I didn't even
that was
see
great.
That. It's the first Uber. Creator Uber.
you are the creator of... Can I lead with that? And then put singer of Entombed AD after
exactly.
that?
Yeah.
Like founder of Uber?
Yeah.
And also... And oh, dot, dot, dot. And singer of Entombed.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I remember I was talking to somebody, and this is in 03.
Yeah.
03. Years ago.
And that was even... more way back.
Yeah, you had already stopped.
I got that car in 92. And then it broke down in 95. So that was a long time ago.
Oh, okay. Okay, so the rumor just keeps...
Yeah,
it keeps
but
going.
That's funny when people have something to talk
to
about.
Like, you've stopped doing this in 95, and here I am in 2016 going, so you drive a cab?
Yeah, I do.
It's broken telephone.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Like, I didn't even... Yeah, I thought maybe you were still doing it. So I'm like, am I going to bring up work with him? He's kind of on the road. He doesn't want to think about work. But I was like, fuck it. I'll do it. But
it was just a couple of hundred crowns a night. Perfect.
isn't that Uber in essence? People call you. They have the number.
You should sue them.
Yeah.
You stole my friggin' idea.
Was there anyone you picked up, like, randomly where they're like, you know who you look like, man? You look like the singer of Entombed, man. No?
But they always forgot their cellular phones in the back. And wallets. I made extra sometimes.
Awesome.
That's when you happen when you take a Uber. not serious cab company.
And then sex in the car in the back?
Ever?
No.
Had to ask.
Yeah,
you had to ask.
At the middle question.
Yeah. Well, that. Thanks, guys, for coming down and being on the podcast. It's been great.
Thank you for.
Thank you, sir, for coming down.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having us.
Oh, and we didn't hear from you, but thank you. And
came in when it mattered.
Yeah. Victor here came in like last minute to say thank you for listening.
And because you're here, then I can say it's the entire band.
Yes.
Cool.
Yes.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Woo. Tack
så mycket. Tack
så mycket. Hej då. Entombed.
Hej då.